This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Hey there, Lexington. You're tuned in to 88.1 FM. The current time is 6:04 in the evening. Pretty stormy out there, but since it's a Thursday, and it's after 6 o'clock and before 8 p.m., you are tuned in to Tech Talks, so thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks. Little change today. Grant's not here, so I will be your lonely, solitary, individual, singular host for this evening. But I'm not alone. No, we are never truly alone. No, we've got two guests with us. We've got my trainee, Wesley, and my other co-worker here at the station, Mr. Colton. And we're going to have all sorts of stuff for you. We're going to be talking about E3. We're going to have a couple games for these two to play since it's their first time. Well, Colton's first time on Tech Talks and Wes's first time here without Grant. So he gets to experience the craziness of just Mitch alone. But first, we're going to bring up Helios and that intro and song Pray by them. It's super awesome. I just always love it. It gets me in the spacey, techie kind of mood, and I hope it does you guys too. So we will be back in about 15 minutes for the talking portion of the evening, and then the rest of the time we'll be playing music. So with that, keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington, and your greatest tech show in Lexington, your only tech show in Lexington, so greatest by default, Tech Talks. Thank you all. Keep it locked. All right, everybody, welcome back. You are tuned into Tech Talks. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us this stormy evening. Be aware, our broadcast may be interrupted by EAS alerts from the National Weather Service, so just keep that in mind. We apologize for any disruptions to the program, but we're going to just dive on in. So, first of all, I, as always, am your humbly hoveling host, Monsieur Meech, and I'm joined this evening by my trainee.
My name is Wesley.
All right, and my coworker,
Colton,
aka Fake Grant. So, let's dig right on in. So, obviously, we're going to end up hitting E3 later tonight, but first, I want to bring up a little game that Grant and I like to play. It's called 10 for 10. You guys are going to play it for me. Hand me that bell right there, the black one. Yeah, that one. All right. So, when you hear this, your time will be up. I will be timing you. I will read off an article, and then each of you will have 30 seconds to respond to that article. Just your immediate first reaction to how you think that article is going to impact us. And if y'all want, later on we can come back to some of those topics. So, just to kick it right off, number one, Apple's big annual developer conference kicks off today, and that was actually on June 13th. So, we were expected to hear announcements about Siri, Apple Music, iOS, and OS X, according to The Verge. So, first, I will get Wes's response.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't really follow with Apple products.
Fair enough. All right. So, Colton, I know that you are yourself an Apple man, so I will let you have some of that time Wes did not use.
Well, I had seen a couple things about them finding some code in the new Sierra, the OS Sierra, that was working towards the OLED strip on the keyboard. So this would be like a screen at the top of the Mac laptop keyboard.
Sort of like a notification screen on top of the keyboard. Okay,
something like
cool.
That. So I think that's like a new feature that may be coming with the new Macs, but I don't think they announced any new Macs this conference. one of my friends got a developer's pass for the new iOS on his phone, and he was showing me a couple different features. I think it's a lot more intuitive now. I think it actually kind of...
Out of time. We'll have to come back to that. All right. Number two, the all-American iPhone isn't going to happen. Donald Trump wants Apple to build its smartphones entirely within the U.S., but analysis suggests that that simply is not logistically possible. Wes, go.
Well, designing circuit boards, I know that when you're sourcing parts for something especially as complicated as an iPhone, it's many of the parts in such as like an iPhone or just any phone are sourced all throughout, you know, the whole world. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to buy, you know, resistors and capacitors in bulk, not from Hong Kong. So, I mean, I think it's personally impossible.
All right. That is time. Now, Colton, your response to the lack of an all-American iPhone.
I mean, I guess I can't necessarily blame anyone. I mean, you know, if I was running some kind of Fortune 500 company, I would definitely want to be making the most money that you can. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the news about what's happening at those factories in China and stuff, just about worker conditions and things like that that people don't like hearing. I mean, nobody likes seeing happening, but I don't know. I mean, an all-American iPhone would be cool, but...
All right. Cool. All right, up next, number three, Microsoft's most ambitious bet is about to face a huge real-world test. So the company has been, and we've on Tech Talks, Grant and I have been following this story for a little bit, so just to bring you all up to speed, Microsoft has effectively been trying to merge Windows 10 with its Xbox OS console so that everything is running a version of Windows 10, which means that game developers can develop a game for PC and it automatically be ready to go on an Xbox console as a console game as well, which is something we've never seen happen before, and it's actually a really big deal in the world of gaming. Revolutionizes the way that gaming companies would have to code their games. You know, they wouldn't have to make three different versions to release on three different consoles. They can make one version that runs on one OS. So, I will let Wes go first.
As controversial as, you know, moving Windows 10 to, you know, Xbox, Windows Phone, PC, I think it's probably a step in the right direction, mainly for developer support and app support, because instead of having to, you know, only have the Windows Phone or the Xbox version of, say, like, the Netflix app, it's just one store, one app, and it runs on everything.
Very concise. You're coming in under time. I like this. Colton, that means you get a few extra seconds.
All right. Well, like I said, in agreement, I think that it is a step in the right direction to kind of like consolidate what systems you need to be making your games for and such. That being said, I don't use Windows very much. I don't even know if I've touched 10 at all, actually. But I have had limited like access with like Xbox One's OS, and it's just ridiculous. Like, I just personally don't care for it. It's too colloquial. Like, I remember checking my Wi-Fi status and it telling me my connection was all good. It's all good. That's what it said. It's like, come on.
All right.
Give me some numbers.
Now, keep in mind, that's coming from a PlayStation man. So we can't give too much credit to that.
I won't let you. Yeah, I won't lead anybody on. I have a bias for sure.
All righty then. Moving on to number four. Salesforce was one of the most active VCs last year, but it has suddenly stopped making big bets on startups. So a VC is a venture capitalist corporation, more or less. The company's quarterly filings show that it has reined in its outside investments, so it's getting less money from outside investments that aren't... I guess it's just not going out there and finding these random small startups anymore and investing in them. They're losing money on it, so they're sort of cutting those down and weeding them out. So, Wes, we'll let you go ahead.
I'd say that now, because of that, it's probably, I'd say like within the past 10 years, there's been a lot of startups been coming up, especially over in like Silicon Valley and New York City and all that, metropolitan areas. I'd say that now because of that, it's probably, you know, not as attractive to, you know, just out of nowhere make a startup.
Mm-hmm. Well, that in just to steal a little of your time here, Lexington actually is a very friendly startup community. There are a lot of startups that come to Lexington. There's a lot of economic reasons, a lot of tax breaks, just a whole bunch of reasons to come and start a company in Lexington. And it's the city has been super friendly about startups. They are actively wanting startups to come into Lexington and do their business here, as any city would. And it's just nice to see that a city like Lexington is actually using its resources to help push that and try to pull in those investors for the community. So having stolen some of your time, Colton, let's hear yours.
I'm sorry, me, I really don't have much of an opinion on this. Venture capital is not one of my strong suits.
All right.
But, I mean, you know, it's always a bummer to hear of a company that's not able to invest in as much small guy business, if that makes any sense. But, I mean, you know, there's just been so many companies that have become so successful and have only started within the last 10 years that I think that in the long run, I mean, if you actually have a legitimate idea, then your company has a chance.
That's good. All right. Well, neither of you all ran over time on that one, so we will head on to number 5. Security company Symantec is buying Blue Coat Systems for $4.7 billion. Blue Coat CEO Greg Clark is becoming chief executive of Symantec. And really, between the three of us, I don't think we can say a whole lot about this article. And we're probably going to move on to the next article because it's pretty funny. Normally, at this point, we would have had a little bit more information on Symantec, but like I said, we're running a man short today, so we apologize again to all you listeners. So moving on to number 6, Bitcoin is surging. At nearly $700, the digital currency is at its highest that it has been in 2 years, City AM reports. Which is another topic that Grant and I have previously covered, is actually the fall of Bitcoin when it started heading into that, or continued that nosedive here about 6 months ago. So Wes, we'll go on and pop over to you.
I'm glad to see that Bitcoin seems to be making, you know, a bit of a big comeback. I remember back when around 2008, 2009, when Bitcoin was starting to become popular, that many people actually got rich off of it and are still rich. But usually, with something that big, there has to be a big fall. I remember in 2012, 2013, people were Bitcoin mining with like 30, 40, 100 video cards, you know, renting out data centers, and then eventually the whole market just collapsed, and all that was worthless.
Yep. Colton?
Yeah, I remember seeing, I think it was a Vice documentary about like a Bitcoin mining facility in China. And I mean, it was just a huge floor, just a huge floor of servers roaring, you know, mining these coins. But I mean, you know, the currency, like I said, can always sway because it has no like base value. It's just purely based on the economy of it. So it's good that it's worth a lot.
True, true. All right, number 7. This one actually will tie in to some of our later articles. Leaked photos have revealed Microsoft's new Xbox One S gaming console. According to The Verge, and this article was for this whole week, and it came out at the beginning of the week. According to The Verge, it is due to be announced formally at E3 this week, and it was announced. We'll talk about the implications of that later. Wes, what did you think of seeing the Xbox One S?
Well, I'll start off and say that I'm not a big console guy, but I do believe that the Xbox One S, it does look pretty cool. You know, it's nice to see a console that can finally do, you know, 4K well, especially for like YouTube or Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sweet.
It's actually the first console, as far as I know, that is supportive of 4K.
I think the Neo, PS4 Neo, mm-hmm. that they had just announced not too long ago is also 4K.
Yep.
Naturally.
Yeah.
All right. Colton,
yeah,
just to continue off your thought there.
I'm excited to see you know, any console that is amping up the processing power. I mean, the problem with consoles that aren't modular is that you constantly have to be coming out with these like, you know, Xbox One S, Xbox One S 2 is going to be out in two more years. I mean, you get into that never-ending cycle of every
of Moore's
2 years.
Where the 2 years, the number of transistors you can fit on a chip doubles.
Yeah. So every 2 years, you're going to have to be spending another $400 on... I mean, it's just going to end up pushing people towards PC gaming, in my opinion. I mean, I'm always glad to see the hike in technology, but... just a sign of things to come, I think.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, number 8, Verizon and AT&T are going through the final round of bidding for Yahoo's core assets. Yahoo is trying to conclude the auction by next month. This is another article that we've been following here on Tech Talks over the past couple months as things have played out with this story. Yahoo is trying to sell itself. They're just not able to keep up anymore. Their mail has more or less lost out to Gmail. A lot of their search engine has been lost out to Google. So they finally decided to cut their ties and sell to the highest bidder. And obviously Verizon and AT&T are competing, I would say is the best word, to have purchased Yahoo and all of its assets. Mm. So Wes, we'll start with you.
Well, whoever buys Yahoo, whether it's AT&T or Verizon, I'm curious to see what they actually do with it, because it'd be kind of weird seeing, you know, AT&T own a search engine and a video website, email. I mean, they already do email, but like Yahoo email. I'm curious to see whether they just keep it and try, you know, make it more attractive to, say, Google or whoever fans, or see if they just try to do something new with it, keep the Yahoo games.
Maybe, maybe. All right, Colton, your turn.
To expand on that, yeah, I'm interested to see what AT&T or Verizon would end up doing with, like, Yahoo News and Yahoo Sports and, like, all these other outlets that Yahoo, you know, supplies, I guess. My main thought is, you know, when is the government going to come in and have to break up Google? I mean, Google is like becoming one of the most prevalent
monopolies. We'll talk about that here in a minute, actually.
So that's really my thought is just, I mean, who else is in this market? Does anybody use Ask Jeeves? Is that still around?
No. So we're actually going to take a little side trip on that line of Google. Google has already split itself. That already happened. Whenever Google became Alphabet.
Oh, right, Alphabet. Yeah,
Alphabet
their parent company.
Is a parent company that owns Google and has decided to deal with a lot of their research stuff. Not to mention, Google hasn't been developing a monopoly because it hasn't been actively buying out its competitors, much as how, obviously, Verizon and AT&T are going. They're attempting buyouts. The government anti-monopoly laws only apply in the case of a merger. So, for example, we saw Staples and Office Max/Office Depot trying to, you know, have a merger here about earlier this year. We talked about it, I think, 2 or 3 months ago, and the government actually came in and stopped that merger because between the two of them, they would have controlled 60% of the market on office supplies. And so they said, no, you all cannot complete this merger, even though both companies wanted to merge into one. So that's why Google is not facing any issues, is because they are actually being a startup company. They're starting up their own stuff, their own research tanks and whatnot within the parent company of Alphabet, whereas Google has become just the literal Google things, Google Play, email, the search engine, things like that, that are strictly Google and only Google. Moving on, after that interesting little tidbit, because we're running a bit over... insurance from China Life is funding ride-hailing app Didi Chuxing just months after invested in the rival company Uber. TechCrunch reported its financing Didi Chuxing at the tune of $600 million. So just a little more context, Uber obviously is trying to open up its own market in China, and a local Chinese ride-sharing app called, obviously, Didi Chuxing is... trying to compete with it. So China Life decided it was going to invest in both of them, figuring that one or the other would come out on top. So we'll actually start with Colton this time, just to throw you for a loop.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, there's another case of a company that is too big for its own britches in Uber. I mean, Uber has expanded exponentially, really, over the last, you know,
what, 3 years maybe? I mean, when I came to college, I don't think Uber was around.
I don't remember what Uber was when I first came to college, but then all of a sudden
Uber,
like,
everywhere.
I really think Uber started to kick up its game whenever Lyft came out.
Yeah, so they were just being pushed into it. I mean, Uber is now worth like what, $70 billion, something like that. Like,
yeah, something on that range. All right, Wes, go for it.
This might be a bit of a side note, but I'm actually surprised that, companies like Uber and Lyft haven't, just expanded all throughout the world, because it's a pretty simple concept and it's showing to be pretty profitable. So, I mean, I'm just curious to see, like, whether instead of just two companies in China, how about like maybe, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10?
I think you're going to start seeing stuff like that. Grant and I have talked about this before, and we talked last week actually a little bit about how one city is trying out their own little bus services where you can get an app, and it's a city-owned bus like Lextran, and it would just be a small bus about the size of a regular sedan. It just would have standing room, and you would hail it, and you and your group of friends would get on this bus, and it would take you where you want to go automatically on approved transit routes. So I think we'll start seeing some municipal entrances into those ride-hailing, ride-sharing things.
I don't know if this is in development or not right now, but why doesn't Tesla just start making municipal city buses? You know, I mean, that software came out overnight and has been... You know,
the issue with Tesla, though, is that Tesla is currently on that Model S car, I believe. They're more or less their public version of a car that Tesla is trying to make affordable. They're currently 3 years backlogged on cars.
Oh, yeah.
People have bought cars today and will not receive that Tesla car until three and a half years from now.
I don't think it comes out until next year anyway. I don't think it comes out until 2017.
It's out. I mean, it's...
Well, that's like the $35,000 model, right? Yeah. Like the like you said, the affordable one. I'm not sure if that's even... I don't even know if they started like manufacturing those yet. I don't think that's past like prototype models. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's developed, to some extent, but I don't believe that those are coming out until next year. Mm-hmm. And like you said, yeah, it's backlogged another 3 years after that. I mean, Tesla is becoming one of those companies that is just right on the cutting edge. I mean, it always has been. PayPal, Elon Musk, of course, like PayPal. The Tesla motors, and then this Hyperloop, which I think they're doing the test for the pods later this year, maybe, or sometime next year. But, you know, that Hyperloop is going to be on in development for a couple of years, and there's going to be a lot of money being put into that because I think that they're really pushing for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that last topic on our 10 for 10 was also not relevant today, so we're going to go on and cut it. And it's currently 6:36. You are tuned in to Tech Talk. So thank you for tuning in and teching out with us this evening with our guest panel. And we're going to turn it over to Wes, our trainee, and he has a little bit of information for y'all.
Since 1971, Bluegrass Rape Crisis Center volunteers have helped make an impact in the lives of sexual assault survivors. BRCC volunteers are individuals working together to end sexual violence in Kentucky. Volunteers provide crisis counseling on the group's 24-hour crisis hotline and offer advocacy in local emergency rooms. For more information about the center and volunteering opportunities with the BRCC is available at bluegrassrapecrisis.com.
All right. Thanks for that, Wes. So we are actually going to now tell you we've only heard two songs so far this hour. I know it's crazy that we're 40 minutes into the hour and we've only played two songs, but that's how things on Tech Talks go. So that first song we heard is actually a vinyl that we have here in the station that I absolutely love. That intro, it's actually two songs. It's the intro where it was, what did you say his name
was? Well, he's not a singer or musician.
Yeah, he's
or
a professor.
Yeah, he's a philosopher. His name's Alan Watts.
Okay. Yeah, the intro is Alan Watts superimposed over some spacey-sounding music, and then it sort of seamlessly transitions from that intro that's only about a minute long into the song that we heard, which was Pray, and that is from the artist Helios, and that is off the album Full Circle. That very last song before the break you heard was Ezra, and that track was Reaching off their Winter 2016 demos. And we actually will be having a show with Ezra on...
This Thursday.
Yeah, a week
this
from
coming,
today.
Yeah, this coming
at
Thursday.
At this time. So next week, if instead of you don't want to listen to Tech Talks, go to Al's Beer Garden. It's open for all ages.
It's free.
It is free. And we will be listening to Ezra, and things will kick off at 7 p.m. And that is, again, on June 30th. That is a Thursday. So with that, we're going to get back to the music. So we've been teching out. Now it's time for you all to tune in. Up first, we have Mother Mother with the album Very Good Bad Thing, and that song is Monkey Tree. Following that, we have Oh Wonder with the song Without You, and that is off that self-titled album. And continuing after that, we'll have Lawrence and the song Do You Want to Do Nothing With Me off the album Breakfast. So, we'll have much more songs after that. We will probably hold off on coming back on air until 7:15, so we will catch you all in a little bit. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the music. Thanks for tuning in and teching out here on Tech Talks.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
All right. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks. I am your host, the ever magnificent, magnanimously named, I totally made up that word, Mitch, and I am joined, as always, by our trainee, Wes, and obviously the very handsome co-host, Grant. Psych, he's not here this week. Sadness. He decided that he wanted to get sick, you know, because his body likes to betray him like that, so he's currently not feeling well, so show some love for Grant. And embrace fake Grant, a.k.a. Colton.
What up?
Or DJ Dr. Shock Top.
Your resident PhD in jamology.
That's right.
Every Saturday night, 12 to 3. Well, Sunday mornings, 12 to 3.
In that range, whatever, what have you. All right, so we are going to do the game first. We have another game for you all to play. You all are lucky. We don't normally don't do games on Tech Talks, but since Grant's not here to watch us, we're gonna go crazy.
I love games.
So, the way this one's going to work is we are going to go by the release dates of the list of best-selling video games across all platforms. And the criteria for best-selling video games is the number of copies sold or the number of paid, or and, I'm sorry, not or, it's the number of copies sold and the number of paid downloads for the game. So, first of all, I'm going to ask each of you, what do you think the number one best-selling game across any platform is by strictly the number of copies sold and the number of paid downloads? Colton.
Probably have to go with, man, number of copies. That's a hard question. I'm gonna have to go with Grand Theft Auto 5. Throw that one out there. I think we just had a light go out. Is that what that was?
I think so. Yeah, it was that lamp.
That's
okay.
It. I was like, the mood just suddenly shifted. I don't know what just happened.
That was what that buzzing noise was. Going on. All right, Wes, your turn. What do you think it is?
Oh, that's a tough one. Just throw out a guess here. I'd say probably Minecraft.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Man, I'm going to blow your all's mind. Are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Tetris.
Oh,
okay,
come on.
I can see that, yeah.
Tetris.
Now, what it is the 2006 release of Tetris, back whenever we all had flip phones still, and it was just getting around like, oh, we can have games on our phones. One of them was Tetris, and it was actually a free download, which counts as a paid download. You paid nothing for it. And that came in at the number of copies sold and paid downloads across mobile, iOS, BlackBerry OS, PlayStation Portable, Windows Phone, Android, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Entertainment System, and Game Boy were the platforms for that. Came in at 495 million copies. 495
half a billion people own Tetris.
Own that specific 2006 release of Tetris. That's right.
That's amazing.
Now, you and you were within the top five.
Oh,
hey-o.
Hey. You nice. Came in at number two with Minecraft. And that release year was 2009, and I'm just going to give it to you because you already said Minecraft.
I was there.
Yeah.
And that was 106.86 million downloads / paid copies purchased.
That's crazy.
106?
106.8 million. One-tenth of a billion.
Yeah, that's on PC. Is that on? Was that's that on across, old gen consoles?
That's across Windows, OS X, Linux, Xbox 360, yeah. Xbox One, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, mobile, Java applet, Android, iOS, Windows Phone, Amazon Fire TV, God. Raspberry Pi, PlayStation Vita, and Wii U.
You play on your Raspberry Pi
yeah.
on your little computer. It's like.
All right. Now, since number three was not GTA 5, because GTA 5 was number four.
Oh, man.
That release year was 2013, and those the systems that supported it was PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Windows. Mm. That one came in at 65 million copies sold / paid download.
Well, then Grand Theft Auto 5, too, released at two separate times. It mm-hmm. released in 20. That would have been 2013.
2013 and, was the. We're talking about initial release.
That's
date.
The initial release for mm-hmm. the old gens. And then it came out about a year later. Mm-hmm. I think like almost exactly a year later mm-hmm. on the new gens.
So, in between that, at number three, you know that your upper bound is 106 million and your lower bound is 65 million. What do you think the release year for Wii Sports was?
For Wii Sports.
Number three best-selling game across all platforms, and that only was supported on the Wii. And apparently, because it was bundled in with when you bought a Wii...
Oh, that counts.
That counts as being sold.
Yeah. So, Wes, you look like you have an answer already. I'm going to let you go first.
Now, you each have to come up with separate answers, so keep that in mind. You sure you want to let that stand?
Wait, so I've come up with my own year?
You have to come up with a guess.
Just word it differently.
You have to come up with a guess. And if you both guess the same year, then I will have to actually split it down to the month, and I'll make you all guess the month.
All right, I'll guess that it came out in, it had to be like 2008. We go with 2007.
2007, you're going with
2006.
All right, Wes, you are correct.
Yeah.
That release date was November 19th of 2006.
Mm.
All right. Up next, we've got Super Mario Bros. For the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System at 55.75 million copies sold.
Wow.
What year was it released?
I'm going to go with
88.
Which Mario Bros. Is this?
Just Super Mario Bros.
1985.
Colton? It was 1985. Go West.
Man. Oh, yeah.
All right.
My video game history is lacking right now.
At number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 6, we have Mario Kart Wii. That system is only the Wii, and it came in at 36.38 million copies sold. Wes, what year do you think it came out?
Oh, I'll have to take a guess on this one. Say 2007.
2007. Colton?
The Mario Kart Wii?
Yes, Mario Kart Wii.
I'm gonna go with 2009.
Both of you are incorrect. You both straddled the perfect year.
Of course.
It was 2008 was that release year.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 7.
Never owned a Wii. I don't think, since the 64, I don't think I've owned a Nintendo console. No, I've had a Game Boy, and that's not true.
Well, it's not a console. That's a handheld console, I guess.
It's still a console. Particular. It plays games.
Fair enough. So, the next game at number 7 is, guess what? Tetris, again. But this is a specific release that was only done for the Game Boy. It came in at 35 million copies sold.
It was only on the Game Boy. It sold 35 million copies.
It was a pack-in game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yep. What year was that copy of Tetris released for the Game Boy? Colton?
So this isn't like, this isn't Game Boy.
This isn't color.
The Game Boy.
This is the Game Boy.
Like the original.
The green screen, white case
man,
Game Boy.
That came out. I'm going to have to go with 91.
Okay. Wes?
1989.
You are correct, Wes.
Whew. Modern roll today.
Yeah, butt kicked.
He's schooling me.
Right? All right. Next, we have at number 9, I think. Is that what we were at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, we're at 8. Wii Sports Resort. Also only on the Wii. For whatever reason, a lot of these Wii games were topping.
Well, these Wii games were all bundled with the Wii, right?
You're right. This came in at 32.8 million copies sold. What year was it released, Wes?
I'll have to guess on this one, too. I'd say 2009.
2009? What do you think, Colton?
So this is Wii Resort? That's what this one
Wii
is?
Wii Sports Resort.
Wii Sports Resort. So Wii Sports, I assume, came out with... I'm just going to try to go logical route here.
Wii Sports, if
Wii
you
Sports
remember,
came out with the Wii.
Yeah.
So I guess they waited...
Wii Sports came
out in 06. I'm going to say they waited at least a year to come out with Wii Sports Resort. So I don't know. I'm going to go with, you said 2009?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with 2008.
All right. Wes has it again, 2009.
What? Oh, man.
You got your phone over there?
Yeah, I think he's cheating, man.
Uh-huh.
He's cheating.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So next, at number 9, we have the new Super Mario Bros. Released on the Nintendo DS. And that came in at 30.79 million copies sold, and that was not a bundle-in game, I don't believe.
Mm.
So,
which game was this?
New Super Mario Bros. It was a digital port of that Super Mario Bros. That came out in 1985. They ported it to the DS and gave it a little bit of a graphics facelift and did a re-release of it. So, what year did that come out? Colton.
I'm going to guess 2011.
2011, all right.
I'll guess on this one. I'd say 2006.
There's a difference.
I seriously am wondering how much of this you already know. Yes, it is 2006.
Wow, really?
Oh, wow.
He's what, like 9-for-1?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
All right. Next, at number 10, Diablo 3. Released on Microsoft Windows, OS X, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and it was also released on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. 30 million copies sold.
Diablo 3.
Colton, I'll let you go.
Man, I only played I played it after it all came out.
Right,
I
so
was,
did I.
I was really late to the game and played the...
I got the Xbox One version myself.
Yeah, whatever it's like bundled with
that
the...
That Legendary Edition, yeah.
Right.
But what was the initial...
So the initial one, I'm going to go ahead and guess 2007.
2007.
Is this Diablo 3? How about 2013?
You're both wrong for once.
Yay!
You were way too early.
Yeah, I was way too early.
2012?
It was 2012.
Oh.
Yep. Mm.
Crazy.
Uh-huh. So, next we have New Super Mario Bros. Wii, where they took that DS game, ported it to the Wii, and gave it another facelift.
It's a good game.
And that came in at 29.32 million copies sold.
Nintendo's on this list way too much, man. There are way too many good games out there for
right?
this to just be nothing but Mario Brothers and Tetris.
No, it gets weirder as it goes on down, and you're right, it is ridiculous. And notice, I do want to point out, we have not yet come across a Pokemon game. Keep that in mind.
Well, I mean, that's because they're limited to one console, though, for the most part.
But they've been so wildly popular.
I mean...
Anyway.
I'm surprised that we haven't come across a Call of Duty game, to be honest with you. I mean,
that
or Halo.
True.
I mean, how has Halo not been on this list yet? Halo 3. I mean, how many copies of that game sold? Well over 25 million, I'm sure.
Billions.
Billion. Hundreds of billions.
Actually, Halo isn't even on this this list we're using. As far as across all platforms, because the original Halo Combat Evolved, just a little bit of trivia on that one, Halo Combat Evolved was released in 2001 on the original Xbox and only sold 5 million copies, whereas everything we've been talking about has been upwards of 25 million copies.
Yeah.
Halo 2 actually beat it in 2004 with 8 million copies sold on the original Xbox. So what we can do, since we've already hit 10 on this, we can go down and find the Pokemon games really quick and have you all guess.
Guess the names of Pokemon.
So, let's see. It's 5. There. That's 10.
Which copy sold the most, or which game sold the most copies?
That's all right.
Which color?
Yeah, which color? That's
so
yeah.
Coming
exactly.
in at number 30. No, they're bundled together by version.
Right.
Coming in at number 30, actually.
Wow.
But that's, again, like you said, because it was limited to only the Game Boy. Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green, including the Japan release, because Green was a Japan exclusive for the Game Boy in 1996. I just gave that away. So I'll let you
It was 96, Mitch. 1996.
Since I slipped up, I'll let you all guess about how many copies were sold. I'll give you a hint. It's between 23.96 million and 23.59 million. So you're between 0.96 and 0.59.
So I got... How many decibel points do you want me to go out? You want me to go out 2?
Just by 2. So we're at 20. So we're at 23 point something something million.
I'm going to go with 23.69 million.
All right. What are you going with, Wes?
I'll just make it simple. How about 2.5 million?
2.5. And you said 6.9, right?
Yes.
You are closer, so you get the point. It was
course.
At 23.64 million.
Oh, man.
All right.
That's cold.
Now, at number 32, we have Pokemon Gold and Silver, which was released in... I'm not going to tell you this time. It was released for the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color.
It's
at 23 million copies sold. So you're going with...
I'm
going
to go with 99.
99? What are you going with?
I'll say 2,000.
You win, Colton. It's 99.
Woo!
I'll let you have that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll take Pokemon.
If you want, we can skip down to the 360 and the PlayStation 3, since those are our generation's most prevalent consoles. So we'll start with the PlayStation 3, and we'll just do the top two of that and the top two of the 360. Well, PlayStation, where are you hiding? Wow, they're way down on this page. PS2. Okay, we're getting... Oh, okay. Never mind. They put the PSP and the PS Vita in between PS2 and 3. All right.
It came out after the 2 and before the 3, I guess, right? PSP?
What? Yeah, I think so.
It's probably about release year or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's on its own separate page, the PS3 is. That's why. So, the number one PS3 selling title based on copies sold was Grand Theft Auto 5. And since it's not giving me the release date, I'm going to let you all try to guess again how many copies were sold on this one. And the next one, I'll tell you how many copies, and then you all can...
I think I can tell you the exact day that Grand Theft Auto 5 came out. I believe it was September 17th, 2013. Because I remember buying that video game and going back to my dorm room and sitting there all night long playing it.
Well, I'll also give you another hint. It's between 21.5 million and 21 million even. So somewhere in that range is the sweet spot.
Are we just giving you the tenths?
Yep.
All right. You can go first.
How many was it again?
Between 21 million and 21... between 21 million and 21.5 million.
I'll say 21.3.
All right. Wes?
Wes.
Wes, you're right. I'm just tired.
Man, you're off your game today.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
I'm going to go with, you said 21.3. Did you split the difference?
Yeah, I did.
Of course.
So that means it's fair game for you to do, too.
All right, well, I guess I'll pull Price is Right and say 21.2 or 21.3,
21.3 and 21.3 both win at 21.3 million.
Nice.
Next game came in, it's the number 2, and it sold 11.94 million copies. What is the number 2 PlayStation 3 game? What do you think?
So, it doesn't have to be an exclusive, because Grand Theft Auto 5 wasn't. How many copies?
11.94.
Black Ops 2.
No, Black Ops 2 is way down the list.
Oh, man. I went ahead and shot for the Call of Duty, so I figured it'd be.
What do you think, Wes?
I'll say GTA 4.
Nope, Gran Turismo 5.
Mm. What?
Yep. All right, so now we'll hit the last two on the 360, and we'll be done. Okay. Y'all didn't know nearly as much about this as you thought you did.
Yeah, no, dude. I didn't think...
Really? We're going to actually do number two and three because I don't like number one. The number one, according to the most copies, total copies sold, is Kinect Adventures.
Oh, yeah, because that came with a bundle. That came with the Kinect, right? Yeah,
that's everybody's favorite, man.
Yeah, and that was released in 2010.
That game was awesome because it took pictures of you while you played it. So, like, when you're like doing the little raft game and you're like going down the river and you gotta like jump up to get these coins and stuff, you'd like do your last little thing and do that straight up 80s movie freeze where you're like, yeah, and you jump up into the air and like take a picture of it and you could post it straight to social media. At the time, that was revolutionary.
All right. So, what do you all think the number two game is by sales on the Xbox 360?
I'm going to go ahead and guess Grand Theft Auto 5.
You'd guess right. All right. The number of copies sold was 17.79 million copies sold. When was that release date you said the other day?
I'm pretty sure it was September 17th, 2013. I'm almost positive.
That is exactly
right. Yeah, dude, that's what I'm telling. I remember going and getting that game and like I said, playing
Who's
it
Who's the developer?
Night. Rockstar North. Was it North?
Yep. Who's the publisher?
It's just Rockstar Games or 2K, maybe?
Whew. Man, you were on it.
Dude, I enjoy Rockstar's video games, man. They make some of the best around. I'm looking All forward right. to Red Dead Redemption 2 whenever that's going to be announced.
What do you guys think the number three most grossing game or most sold game on the Xbox 360 was?
Say probably
at
like
14.5 million copies sold.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Halo 3 as
Halo
well.
Halo 3 is correct. Yeah. Now,
14.
When was it released?
Oh no, I think I know it. I'm gonna let you go first.
Now, I want you all to be competitive. If you all think it's the same year, we're gonna bring it down to the day on this one. If you all
down to the day.
Oh.
All right, what do you think?
2007.
I'm agreeing with 2007.
For Halo 3, that is correct. All right, we'll take it one step further. What month? And if you all say agree on the
month. I'm going to go with November.
November?
September.
September. All right. Wes, you get it.
Ah.
That release date was September 25th. Who developed it?
Bungie.
Who published it?
Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
What genre is it?
First-person shooter.
RPG.
That's one of those RTS games, right? It's like you're like over top of it.
Puzzle game.
Yeah, that's a puzzle game. Let's be honest.
No, that's like one of those those music games where you're playing the controller. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we are just going to keep on talking till 7:50, and then we're just going to ride the wave out on music with leading up to the Party Panda Power Hour with DJ Spencer Sell. Who will be here momentarily. Anywho, so now it's time for what we promised we were going to talk about. It's E3 time. We've been on video games all evening.
Yay.
Colton, you already have some stuff you want to talk about, so I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I just came with really like four or five games that I'm really excited about and saw at E3 this year. I'm going to start off with Death Stranding, which is a game that's being developed by... assuming Kojima Productions, his independent studio. Well, no, it's not independent because Sony Entertainment Interactive has, I guess, bought his studio. There's just so many logistical things that ended up happening with this breakup. If you're not aware, Hideo Kojima is the game designer for a long time for Konami and is most popular for developing the Metal Gear Solid series. So that's been going on for... almost 20 years now, and then the last entry that he developed came out like this past year with Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. But around 2 years ago, after Ground Zeroes came out, which was like the teaser demo game for Metal Gear Solid 5, There was something that came out called PT, which is short for Playable Teaser, which was a game that really was just like a puzzle horror game, where at the end of it you found out that your character you've been playing as was Norman Reedus, who's the actor from The Walking Dead, but that this game was a Silent Hills sequel, remake, reboot, whatever it was going to be, with game designer Hideo Kojima and directed by Guillermo del Toro, who is like a macabre director. If you ever seen like Pan's Labyrinth or that last movie that he just made, Crimson Peak, that just came out not too long ago. So this game was really scary. I played it and it scared the pants off of me and was one of like, it like changed my views of video games. Like it made me think about how you played a game and what it meant to like actually, develop the narrative as you go through this game, because there are just all kinds of little things that they added. But there's a big falling out between Hideo Kojima and Konami, so much so that they took his name off the box art of Metal Gear Solid 5. So there, like I said, there's a huge falling out. This game gets lost into what the people in the business call development hell. So this game's PT's pretty much gone. And so I think there's like a 2 year, probably a year and a half legal battle between Konami and Kojima. He finally separates and is able to make his own studio, which is making Death Stranding, which we only got a trailer for at E3. But this game starring Norman Reedus, which I'm really excited about. I was extremely excited when I found that out about PT, but I'm really excited to see him in a video game just because he's one of my more like favorite actors. He's really awesome in The Walking Dead, but it just seems really strange. I'm not sure what to make of this game. We don't even really know what kind of genre it's going to be. We just know that I guess it's in some kind of post-apocalyptic world and that there's something to do with some machines. There's some oily handprints that keep showing up on all over Norman Reedus's body. He had like a mechanical umbilical cord for some reason attached to a baby that disappears. I don't know. This trailer is very strange. Very strange, very esoteric. Somebody obviously knows what's going on who's making this game, of course, but like
for the rest of us,
yeah,
it's like, what?
We're just, yeah, what? What is happening? What is this? But yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think that Hideo Kojima making any video game is just going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that one. I'm really looking forward to The Last Guardian, which is being developed by a group, which I think they're now going by InGen Design, but it used to be called Team Ico. And if you've ever played the game Ico or Shadow of Colossus, you know that these guys make a game that's really not like any other. This studio is one of those studios where it raises the question, can video games be art? You know, Shadow of the Colossus is to this day one of the greatest video games that's ever been made, because it's just so simplistic. I mean, like, you are somebody who has to go out and fight like 18 bosses, something like that, but they're just gigantic monsters that you have to like systematically take down. But the simplicity, the art style, the sound design, everything in these games are top notch. So I'm really looking forward to The Last Guardian, because it looks interesting. He plays like a kid who has like a gigantic griffin, like a young griffin as a companion, and you have to like, you know, solve puzzles and go on adventures and stuff. So that game looks really cool. I'm also looking forward to God of War. I wasn't really expecting there to be a reboot of this game. Not yet, at least. I'm not really sure how I feel about the gameplay that they showed. It's a lot more tight over the shoulder than the other previous God of War games, whereas those games are kind of moving around the playing field a lot quicker, and it's more just like a medley of colors and blood and guts and all kinds of craziness going on. This game seemed a little more restricted. I've read a couple articles interviews by the game designer, and he's, I can't remember his name right now, but he used to work for Lucasfilm and had access to a lot of their things that they have in their archives, and was reading scripts for a canceled live-action Star Wars show that never made it into development. Well, made it into development, just never made it on television.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled a lot of themes that he had, you know, acquired from these scripts and put them into God of War. I don't really know what that means, and I don't think he's able to release any of the information that he's actually talking about, because mm-hmm. George Lucas would have him, would take him in the middle of the night or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That game looks pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what Kratos is up to. It looks
one
like
I
kind of
want
to
talk about, too, that kind of surprised me is Titanfall 2.
Oh, yeah.
I was, you know, Titanfall being almost exclusively the release game for the Xbox One, the mm-hmm. title, you know, one of the very first title releases on the Xbox One, that they actually even, it kind of faltered enough that they went back and ported the game, the Xbox One game, over into a digital download for the 360 a few months later. And then did something that I've never heard of a video game doing, in which they gave away all of their DLC packs for free, even after some of people had already purchased them. And I don't know the exclusives of whether or not those people were refunded their money, seeing as all the DLCs were released later on. It was very messy. And a lot of people did not care for Titanfall after the initial, I would say, 3 weeks after the Xbox One was released, because there was no, I mean, it was kind of static. They released some new maps, which I thought was cool. My big thing is I kind of liked how they started to where you could do cooperative story modes, where you pick a story mission if you actually do play through the campaign. And you, no matter what you're doing, if it's you're just working through the campaign, you still are with other people. There are other people on Xbox Live working through that same mission on that campaign, and they play with you, and you all, you know, fight together. Which was a really neat concept. It was one of those ones that we haven't really hit on many video games up until Titanfall. And so I'm kind of, I don't know. It's super interesting. According to this article, Respawn is the sequel has finally been confirmed by Respawn. It's the first game to feature a single-player campaign, and it puts us in control of Jack Cooper, a rifleman pilot, as he embarks on a mission with the controlled AI Titan, or with an AI-controlled Titan named BT-7274. So, from that, just to that alone, it already sounds like it's completely revolutionizing and completely changing how they did Titanfall. They're going a lot more in-depth with it, which I feel was one of the things that a lot of people who played Titanfall requested, was the more depth of a story.
I know that this one's going to PS4 as
well,
right?
Yes, it's on, platforms are on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, as opposed to having been an Xbox exclusive with the first Titanfall.
Right.
So Respawn really has listened a lot to their feedback in that game. Had you hit The Last Guardian yet?
Oh, yeah. The Last Guardian is one that I'm definitely excited for. That's that Team Ico game. The art style of those games is really what gets to me, just because it's very like cartoony, but it has like a really pastel kind of color scheme to it. You look like you have something very exciting to say.
I just saw on here right now that a upcoming game based on the popular anime series Attack on Titan is expected to launch in August. So they're making a more or less RTS version.
Oh, that's right.
Of yes. Attack on Titan.
Wait, so no, this is the one that's like the over-the-shoulder action game, right?
Developed by Omega Force, the studio behind the popular Dynasty Warriors series, the game retells the events of the first season in the anime while telling additional side stories involving its ensemble cast of characters. So you actually will get to explore a little bit more on some of the side characters of Attack on Titan. This is being released, it's the release date is confirmed to be August 30th, I believe. And the platforms are going to be PS4, PS3, which is kind of weird they're still making PS3 games.
Yeah.
Like new.
Yeah.
PS Vita, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah, they've come out with, there was one Japanese-produced Attack on Titan game that came out not too long ago, within the past, like, year or so. And I think it was met with a lot of bad reviews. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, it all takes place within their city in that first wall, I guess, when the gigantic Titan or whatever, the large Titan. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what their
names. They don't think they ever gave him an actual designation.
Yeah.
But that's the beginning of the series, is where it takes place in that.
Right.
And the series, the first season is still up on Netflix. There's rumors that sometime this year, season two of the anime will actually finally
be completed. They need to make the... I don't even think the manga is out
The manga
for
is
it
not
yet.
Completed yet.
The I don't manga, think the manga is out far enough along to even make another season
I don't think it is either.
People, they just had to like put that into every medium that they could, because Attack on Titan is just
it became wildly popular overnight.
This is one of those. I mean, as far as anime goes, that's one of the best around. And on just another side, if you haven't seen Death Note, that's another really good. Same director, and I don't know if it's the same studio or not, but that's also a really good one. But yeah, I'm excited for an Attack on Titan game. Where you actually get to fight the Titans would be really interesting, because how they use those like grappling hooks that are like steam powered that they get to like Spider-Man swing around their city and stuff. I mean, if you're able to incorporate that into a video game well enough that to like actually translate how they move, then that would be really cool. On that note, I'm looking forward to the next Spider-Man game. They had a trailer for that at E3 as well. Spider-Man 2 was and continues to be one of my favorite games ever, just because I would spend hours swinging around as Spider-Man. It was the first game that allowed, like, when you, like,
free
swung a web.
Yeah.
Well, when you swung a web, it attached to, like, an actual building in the city. So, like, in one of the other games, you just, like, slinging webs up into nothing, and you're just kind of, like, going around. This one had some physics to it, and adding that element, but then, yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the new one.
Well, guys, I hate to cut this short, because there's still so much we haven't talked about, such as Pokemon Sun and Moon. We've got Watch Dogs 2, which is another sequel from one of the very first Xbox One title releases. We've got Gears of War 4, Battlefield 1, Dishonored 2, Sid Meier's Civ 6, Dead Rising 4.
Crash Bandicoot remasters.
Oh, that's right. Oh, there's a new Legend of Zelda game that's coming out.
Yeah, there's just still so much more to do. And actually, I don't know if we'll be on next week. We may not be here for Tech Talks next week, but... Colton, you definitely are going to have to come back with us throughout the rest of the summer and in the fall and be our video game correspondent.
Right on, man.
I feel comfortable, and I'm sure Grant will agree with me, and if he doesn't, he can yell at me later, that we can officially name you Tech Talks video game correspondent.
Hey! I'm going to go home and get started on some extra work, man. you got it, Mitch. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to study my buns off, man.
That's nothing but
play video games for the next like couple weeks.
Isn't that the way to do it, man?
I'm going
to
tell everyone I'm doing work.
Yeah, I'm a correspondent. I'm doing research. Excuse you.
This is my job, sir.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, with that, folks, we are ever thankful to you all for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks. Grant wasn't here with us this week. He'll be back maybe not next week, because neither of us are going to be here, maybe. But definitely the week after that, we will be back the week after the 4th. No, that would, because the 4th is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, the 4th is next weekend,
Thursday. Is it Cattell's Day yet?
Yeah.
Anyways,
we'll be back in 2 weeks from now, probably, ready to talk about some more stuff. We will definitely still hit a lot of the upcoming video games, as it's still news at that point, and it hasn't come out yet. Not to mention, we will probably have some other interesting articles lined up and ready to go as well. So with that, thanks again for tuning in and teching out with us. This has been great having Colton and Wes here with us. Wes will be back with us as well. And we will catch you guys on the flip side. So keep it locked all the way to the left. Up next, from 8 to 10, we have DJ Spencer Sell with the Party Panda Power Hour. Intentionally getting darker and more devious as you go on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
As always.
Right? All right. Well, with that, we're going to get back to the music. We're going to go out to only two songs this time. I know. So sad. But we've got Pop Etc. with their album Souvenir and What Am I Becoming? And then after that, we've got off the album As If, and Colton is just laughing. That's the actual pronunciation of the band. It's just three exclamation points, and it's pronounced ch-ch-ch, and we are going to be playing Every Little Bit Counts off of that. So, keep it locked all the way to left. Party Panda Power Hour, DJ Spencer Cell, fun times, maybe cows and peanut butter. You never know what you're going to get, because he just walked in and he's super happy. All right, we'll keep it locked all the way to the left for you.